What are some of the things that the Auburn Athletics Department is doing to help set up their student athletes for success with potential NIL deals? We jump into that on today's Locked On Auburn.
Well, Zach, I actually just finished crushing some chicken farm, and I am freaking ready to rock and roll.
You are Locked On Auburn, your daily podcast on the Auburn Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on into Locked On Auburn, your daily Auburn Tigers podcast. I'm your host, Zach Blackerby, and thank you so much for making Locked On Auburn your first listen every single day. We're trying something a little different today. We're reaching out to the TikTok realm as we are joined by Eli Devoskin, who is a TikTok star. Oh, you ready to go?
Sorry about that. I was listening to my first listen of the day of the war report, but we can get started.
Hey, that's a good one. That's a good one. Oh, man. Thanks for coming on. And so,
yeah, of course.
I've been following you for a few months now on TikTok. And I noticed, I guess this was a few months ago as well, that you put on there that you were kind of spending some time talking to the football team. How did that come to be?
Yes, that was a funny story. Basically, I was on Instagram a while back, and you know, you follow the players, and all the players post their stories and stuff. So from the student perspective, I'm seeing this, and one of the more prominent players, I won't name names, kind of plugged their TikTok.
You can name names here if you want to.
I'd rather not. I don't want to diss anyone. But I go on there and I'm like, how does this person only have 400 followers on TikTok and whatever 20K or whatever they have on Instagram? Mm-hmm. And so kind of planted a seed in my head. A couple days later, I happened to be at the Texas A&M home game basketball.
Right.
And basically that same game, Harsin and Alan Green happened to be walking around talking to all the students in the student section. I was courtside. So I quickly came up with my pitch. I was like, hey, I got 800K on TikTok. If you want help for the student athletes gaining a following and, you know, being more attractive for NIL, let me know. And so kind of got set up from there. I did a presentation. I haven't done the other sports yet. I'd like to. I did a presentation for some of the football players there. And it went really well. I think they gained a lot of knowledge from it, hopefully.
That's interesting. Did the players that were there listening, because you mentioned this was after spring, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't the full squad, but the folks that were there, I mean, did they seem interested and ask questions, and were they engaged as far as growing their social following? Because I mean, that's such a big deal when it comes to NIL right now.
Yeah, for the most part, they really were. And it took a lot longer because they were asking lots of really good questions.
That's great.
So, yeah.
That's great. Who do you think has the best social media game right now? I like Keandre Jones a lot. He posts a lot of videos of him just lifting a lot of weight, and it kind of gets me fired up. He's the one I see the most of. He seems to be one of the more active players on the football team. But from your perspective, I'd love your thoughts.
To be honest, I'm not exactly sure. I don't think that many of the football players actually have TikTok accounts right now.
Yeah.
Some of them do, like Keandre Jones. I think I've seen him too. Mm-hmm. But that's something that I definitely want to get growing if they want to as well.
Yeah. And there's a few of them that have accounts, but they don't post too much. Like Smoke had one before he left. I think I follow Javarius Johnson, but I don't know if I've ever seen anything that he's posted before, but
yeah. And a lot of these guys are just posting highlights, and that's great. But you know, if you want to develop a personal brand for making yourself attractive for companies, like you want to do a little bit more than that. And that's kind of what I was going into a little bit.
Yeah. Which is, I mean, how a lot of these, you know, influencers now, these folks with big social followings, it's great that they get some money from the platform, but a lot of it's about partnering with these brand deals, which is, I think what the original intent of NIL was. It's become so much more than that, right? With these
companies
forming and essentially just being on payroll, but that's what the idea of it was, and then it quickly became something else.
Yeah, that's true. And I think that, from my perspective, I've made probably, you know, a lot more from the brands than I have from the ads. So that's definitely a good point. But going back to what you said about, you know, these boosters and all, you know, that's not really what it's intended for. I agree with you. Like, I think you might as well start learning how to do it the right way, because eventually rules are going to come into place where you have to do it the right way. So you might as well already know how to do it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I can't wait to see what happens, because, you know, what is the right way? Right.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know what those rules are going
to
be.
Yeah. Are you going to be able to take away all of this from the kids that are already used to it? And it's like, my gut says no, Eli. Like, I don't think they are going to be able to change this. But we'll have to wait and see. What were some of the things that you told them? What were some of the things that they were kind of interested in hearing you talk about? You mentioned a lot of questions there.
Yeah. So basically, I just created a presentation going over how the algorithm actually works, and how to kind of manipulate your videos in order to impress the algorithm a lot more. One of the biggest factors, basically the only factor that's really important to whether your TikTok will go viral or not, is the amount of watch time, and more specifically, the percentage of people that are watching and finish the whole video. That's very, very important, because obviously TikTok wants to keep people on the app. Like, they don't want people to be bored. So that's the main thing. If I've had videos that have gotten, you know, 40% watch time, watch percentage completion, and that have not done well. And I've had videos that get 60% that have 8 million views. So just to give you an idea of how important that is.
Well, and a lot of your earlier videos, correct me if I'm wrong here, were you kind of walking around campus and just kind of asking people like funny questions and kind of roasting them right in front of them kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed the roasts. However, eventually I felt like it started getting kind of old, and I would, you know, ask the same kind of stuff over and over again. So I'm more focused now on like hopefully helping other people figure out how to learn the algorithm and that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's fantastic. All right, coming up, I want to get Eli's thoughts on where the students are with everything, with Brian Harsin, with Alan Green, with Bruce Pearl. We'll get Eli's thoughts on that. But first, got to tell you about our friends at BetOnline. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL and college football futures. Check it all out at BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, Eli, what's the mood on campus? You coming from, you know, into this conversation from a student's perspective, an engineering student's perspective. What's the general thoughts on the state of the football program right now?
I would just say like uncertainty, but optimism as well.
Okay. So there is optimism amongst
at least for me.
Students. Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Where do you think that optimism comes from?
Well, I would say if you look at most of our losses last year, very small margin of error, like small margin of loss, I mean.
Yeah, sure.
So if a couple plays go certain ways, we're looking at an 8 or 9 win season instead, which I think is pretty interesting.
It is interesting. And that's kind of one of the biggest talking points, right? Like if Bo Nix stays healthy, do we hold on, you know, against Mississippi State? It's like, you can certainly make that argument. You got to think we beat South Carolina. And then the way the Iron Bowl, you know, happened, you know, if you have a little bit better of quarterback play, do you win that one? And then all of a sudden it's like, man, there'd be so much energy around this program. So yeah, I think you're right.
I think just that Iron Bowl, if, you know, that obviously came down to one play, because it was a 4 overtime game. So I think just that one game, you're talking about a completely different outlook.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And then, I mean, you mentioned you went to some of the basketball games as a student.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine the energy on campus around basketball is at an all-time high.
Oh yeah, for sure. And there's obviously a lot of excitement with everything reloading. So
yeah.
And not just basketball, but like you know, everything out there. Women's basketball even had a few good upsets this season. I think did we beat Tennessee?
I think that's right. Yeah, Coach Johnny Harris's first season generated some excitement there.
So, and then obviously gymnastics did really well. And
totally. Yeah. What about baseball? And I know that's something that Butch Thompson has really, really wanted more like student backing and support. And they launched that Operation Atmosphere where you can kind of go and set up out, you know, behind center field. There doesn't seem to be as much energy around the Auburn baseball program, despite them having a really, really good season so far.
No, they're doing great. And I actually only had the opportunity to go to one of the games just because I was busy towards the end of the semester a lot.
Yeah, sure.
And that the one game I went to was the third Auburn Alabama game where it got rained out and canceled. So I was like, wow, that's anticlimactic. We were bases loaded, tied game, and then nope.
If that game would have gone on and they would have let us play, we would have gotten a bye in the SEC tournament. And so that, you know, first round early exit loss to Kentucky wouldn't have happened. So like, that's just such a big deal. And it's got to be against stinking Bama. Like, are you kidding me? Of all teams that happens against, it's Bama.
Well, I don't know if this is true, but at the game, I heard people saying, oh, they were doing the Alabama team was doing a rain dance earlier. And of course it rained and they were afraid. They wanted it to get rained out because they knew they didn't have a chance.
Do you believe in rain dances? Do you think that was what caused it?
No, I just thought it was kind of funny.
It is funny. One thing I want to get your thoughts on, Eli, and just because I think it's such a fun conversation to have, the scheduling.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, with Texas and Oklahoma coming into the SEC, there's so much speculation and a lot of people kind of guessing all of the potential things that could happen in regards to how the schedule is formed over the next few seasons. A lot of people are kind of in the pod camp where there's four different essentially divisions, but for some reason we call them pods in this conversation. I don't know why. Then there's you have three protected opponents and then you rotate five or six, depending if they want to add an extra game or not. Or another popular one is you have one protected opponent and then you add seven and the seven rotate. What are your thoughts on what do you think they'll do and what do you think they should do?
What I think they'll do, I think they'll either do the pods or they'll probably do that seven thing and rotate.
Yeah.
What I think is best for the SEC, I have no idea. I'm not like an expert, but I think it'd be really cool if you had, first of all, I think pods is a cool idea, right? Because you have the same, I guess, three teams you play every year.
Right.
But that does make things difficult, right? Because if you have two rivals like Auburn does, where it's like Alabama and Georgia, you're going to want to play every year. That's a tough pod to be in. And then what, like, do you add Vanderbilt? But at the same time, like, poor Vanderbilt, they're going to have to play Alabama, Georgia, and Auburn every year. You think about it like that.
Right.
It's like, how is this going to work? So I don't know. But I think it would be cool to see the pods. Yeah. I also think they could do it something similar to like just a division wide thing, except change the division every year, if that makes sense. So this is just kind of like something I thought of. I don't know if it mathematically works out. I haven't put it down on paper.
Right.
But theoretically you could have your two or three or however many you want, what do you call them? Every year kind of games. And then you divide it into two, and if you mix and match, like, it's whatever. So I don't know. I haven't really put that much thought into that, but yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be fun regardless of what they do. I think it's a win situation. Regardless of which one they pick, as long as they go away from divisions, I think everyone will be happy. And it seems like that's no longer even an option because Sankey wants folks to play everybody more often. And I think the only way to do that is to get rid of divisions altogether, if he actually means that. If they stick with divisions, I would assume Auburn and Alabama would just go to the East and Texas and Oklahoma would go to the West. That's probably the easiest thing to do, but I don't think that's what they're going to do. So,
yeah, I think there's a lot more balance that way too. Because the West has always been so heavy the past couple of years. I think if you move Auburn and Alabama to the East, it's like, okay, now you have Florida, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, and Kentucky kind of coming up there, rising up. And then obviously you have the traditional West minus Auburn and Alabama, plus, the new teams. So I think that could work.
Yeah, no, I do too. I do too. As far as other things happening on Auburn's campus right now, I mean, is there any excitement about the new president, or is that just one of those things where, like, we had a president change when I was there. Lease was hired when I was there, and it didn't really impact your life a whole lot. But I guess folks that are outside of Auburn looking in, it's like, oh, that's a big deal. What's going on there? But I mean, you probably can't tell much of a difference as far as day to day stuff, right?
Well, not day to day, but I can tell you that the new president was actually, I think he was either the dean or whatever you call it, of engineering.
Yeah, right.
The president of the College of Engineering, whatever you want to call it. And he did a great job, like, you know, growing the program. It's risen in prominence since I've been here. And so I'm sure he'll do a good job as president. In fact, I was walking, I'm taking summer classes this semester, and I was walking from Parker down to Haley, and I saw a little sign in front of the student center that said President Meet and Greet. And I was like, okay. And I went in there and met the president, and you know, it seems like a nice down-to-earth guy, and they had food and everything. So that was a cool experience.
Sure. From
a student perspective.
Yeah. And I mean, I just know the engineering department, like the new building that I assume a lot of your classes is the super, super nice one. It's like the nicest building on campus. Yeah. That got finished while I was there. And I'm like, I was a liberal arts guy. So, you know, it's like, whatever, I'll never gonna go in there. But I mean, that's a big deal, obviously. And I assume if folks are wanting to study engineering, Auburn moves to the top of their list because of that. So,
oh yeah. Well, you know, there are a lot of people that want to put themselves through hell with an Auburn engineering degree. So,
Yeah. In my fraternity, like, I think like 60% of them were engineering majors. And then we're just like, dang, that's just.
Last I heard, like 20 or 25% of Auburn was engineering.
Makes sense. I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. So when you're walking around campus, how often do people come up to you and you're like, oh, you're the TikTok guy? How often does that happen?
It's pretty sporadic and random. I would say when I'm going through a phase where I have a lot of views, it happens more often. It can be once a day. It can be not at all in a day. Uh-huh. And then I had one time where I was downtown at, you know, on a weekend, and it was 18 times in one bar. So
nice.
It just, nice. It ranges.
Do people buy you drinks when they recognize you?
Here and there. Yeah.
Wow. That's nice. That's nice. How can folks find all the content that you're putting out, Eli?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at Eli Devoskin or on TikTok at Eli Devoskin. And if you're a student athlete that's watching and wants help with you know, growing your account, reach out to me over Instagram, because that's the best way to contact me.
Yeah, fantastic. I want to jump into some of the announcements, some of the official times that we have for the first three games for the Auburn football season, and my thoughts on it in just a moment right here on Locked On Auburn. Thank you so much for making Locked On Auburn your first listen every single day. So we found out earlier in the week that the Tigers would be taking on Penn State. I shared my thoughts with John Garcia earlier in the week. This should have been a night game. It is not. It is a 2:30 CBS game, which is the quote-unquote biggest game. So that's nice. But then, of course, that'll be the all-Auburn, all-orange game. Auburn didn't get a night game there, but they did get two night games before that. So in the season opener, September 3rd against Mercer, the Tigers will be kicking off at Jordan-Hare Stadium at 6:00 Central Time. And that game will be a whiteout. Auburn is asking fans to wear white, but that game will be on ESPN Plus and the SEC Network Plus. There'll probably be some energy because it's the season opener, but a lot of you will not be able to watch that unless you have that ESPN Plus package. And a lot of people have canceled that. It'll be interesting to see if they re-up that closer to time. So there you go. Mercer, 6 p.m. Central Time, ESPN+. The following week, September 10th, this is the Hometown Heroes and the First Responders Appreciation Day game. It's the day before 9/11. Makes a ton of sense. Auburn did some cool stuff with that last year. I'm sure they'll do the same this year. But taking on San Jose State at 6:30 Central Time. So another night game, which is exciting. And that'll be on ESPNU. So not huge for the brand as far as prime, you know, televised games. I don't think we were really expecting that. But the biggest takeaway from this is similar to what our conversation with John Garcia earlier in the week talked about, which was when you have these night games and high school players that you were recruiting play the Friday night before, sometimes it takes a little bit longer based on where the recruit is to come visit. And so I think these two night games early in the season, especially for unofficial visits, but even official visits, it's going to allow the coaching staff to be able to court and have an electric environment as far as recruiting goes and get guys on campus as far as traveling. That's the best news. The worst news of all of this is how I think the ESPNU thing is frustrating. Like, it's on TV, but not everybody gets ESPNU. And then just, you know, it being on ESPN Plus for the season opener. I can just tell that in the past when that's happened, there's been some frustrated fans that kind of sneaks up on. I don't love that. So looking ahead, the week four game, Missouri, of course, that was Auburn's homecoming. Then LSU, and they're going to do the whole Stripe the Stadium thing for LSU. But curious to see when those will be. I think with homecoming, Auburn would probably like to have that a little bit earlier. But LSU, gosh, I'm really hoping that's the night game at Jordan-Hare Stadium this year. I think that's going to be the game where Auburn tries to get as many recruits as possible in. I think Auburn's going to have a good chance to win that game against the LSU Tigers. We'll see. We'll see. But that's where we're at. We know the first 3 weeks as far as kickoff times for the Tigers, and that's a lot of fun. So thanks for Eli for hopping on the show today. Really, really appreciate his time. Be sure to check out his content on the TikTok if you're into that sort of thing. You can follow us wherever. Just search Locked On Auburn, or follow me wherever. Just search at Z Blackerby. We'll be back on Monday to recap this busy weekend. I don't know why I said it's busy. It's not busy at all. But we'll recap the weekend on Monday. See you then. This has been Locked On Auburn.